This is A-State Connections on KASU. I'm Jonathan Reeves. This is the weekly segment called A-State Connections and Create at State, making connections that count. In this interview, I talk with Dr. Jody Long and Christopher Russell. Dr. Long is an assistant professor of social work at Arkansas State. He tells about how he and Russell have been working on social work research that could help social workers have a better understanding of transgender patients. Here is Dr. Long.
With research and social work, it tends to be a marriage of loving clinical and also liking research. That's what we hope to end up with. Sometimes it's an odd match because some people come in with such great clinical skill seeking attributes, and they want to focus clearly on clinical. But we also include research courses, and when I'm talking with students about conducting research, I'm open to any and all ideas that they may bring to the table. And Christopher kind of has brought up several to me here lately about presenting. We're actually putting together a proposal to present at the National Association of Social Work Conference held in Little Rock, Arkansas in March. So we're really excited about that. And I'll let Christopher tell you a little bit more about his particular idea for this conference.
Yeah, go ahead, if you don't mind, please.
Yeah, sure. A little-known history in the late 60s, 70s, there were two transgender women who really set the stage for LGBT rights. And unfortunately, their histories just sort of it disappeared. There is a lot of marginalization that went on even within the gay rights movement. And it sort of pushed their voices to the edge and over the edge. But in doing research on these two individuals, Marsha P. Johnson and Sylvia Rivera, I have found that a lot of what transgender activist groups now, the way that they structure their halfway houses, you know, their shelters, is sort of based upon a blueprint of what they had started in the early 70s. So I would like for us to be able to talk about that and how they structured this resource-rich community. Because, you know, whenever you think of transgender individuals, you don't think that they have so many resources in their environments because, you know, like I said, they are highly marginalized in society. But, you know, through these resources, I think it's imperative to teach social workers how to tap into those resources.
And so I can imagine how much of a challenge it was for them back at that time, because it's a challenge today for transgendered people. What were some of the things that you learned about some of those challenges that they faced there? Were there some similar challenges or maybe different challenges because it was in a different time?
Some were different. Some were the same. Then, you know, they did not just have to battle, you know, the general population, but they had to battle their own people as well. And today you do get some of that. You actually get it a lot. But it was just a different time, I guess, because, you know, the gay movement was so new. And, you know, these people were fighting for their chance to speak. So I guess in some ways it was easier for them then as opposed to now where, and then in some ways now it's harder than it was then, but, and a lot easier than it was then. But, it just depends on exactly what point that we're talking about is easier or not easier. Like the marginalization in society, it has evolved. I think that queer theory had a lot to do with that, but there's still a lot that we can do to make their environments better. And that is sort of what we want to talk about with people in our proposal as well. It's sort of how to harness that power that has been, you know, with the movement since the early 1970s. And how to tap into their resources that are for them and by them.
Christopher Russell is a graduate student at Arkansas State University. Dr. Jody Long joins us here as well as part of the Created State podcast here on KASU. So, Dr. Long, tell me a little bit about your thoughts on his research. It sounds like it's just outstanding information that's there and how it could be applicable for today when you're working or for, you know, information and resources for social workers.
That's a great question. And what I try to do as a professor, and I think most professors do, is when we have a student who comes to us with an idea for possible research and presenting at a conference or even publishing a paper or manuscript, we try to foster that and nurture that. That's our role, is to kind of guide that particular research idea. And so when Christopher presented this to me, I thought, you know, there are a lot of social workers who may not be as informed as needed, specifically when you look at rural communities. And the rural community is quite different than the metropolitan community as far as research knowledge, resources available, getting people connected, helping them get some relief from whatever plight they may be plaguing them. So we're a little different in that we're surrounded by a number of smaller rural communities. Now, at this conference, the National Association of Social Work Conference, there will be people from all over the state. And I think that's why this particular idea and researching this idea and presenting information for social workers is such a grand idea to present.
And so tell us about, in the collaboration process of this, how has it been working with Christopher as he's been kind of developing this and y'all been working together on getting ready for this proposal for this national conference presentation in Little Rock?
Well, it's been very nice, and Christopher has done a lot of hard work researching his ideas and putting them together and then presenting them to me and us going back and forth and sharing different ideas on what to do, what to look at, where to go next. You know, when you're looking at research with students, the main thing we want is to find just a little gap in the research literature.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to pursue this particular gap, that there may be studies written all around it, but maybe not hitting right directly on what we're attempting to present. We want to present something that's a little bit new, that will inform social workers and benefit clinical practice as a whole.
And we think, and we've hit that with this, right?
Yes. Yes, we sure have. Yeah. You know, and the thing about it is, speaking about the gap in the research, when I first started here, our social workers, they're required to take in graduate school two research courses, the first research course, the second research course. And in the second research course, they form groups, they pick a topic, they pursue a literature search review, and then they kind of write up and collect some data and then mm-hmm. do an analysis of their data.
Sure.
So my second year here, I had a student who came to me and during her second research course. And now this is taken the last semester. So they have to pass the second research course. You don't pass that, you're not passing and getting your graduate degree. So she was going to collect some anonymous data, no identifying of data, no names, no dates of birth, no addresses, no nothing. It was completely anonymous. And she went to her field placement. It was outside here of Jonesboro and asked her supervisor, okay for me to collect this survey data? Supervisor said yes. Now this was at the beginning of the semester. So when she had her forms, her survey forms, to hand out to clients to gather their information, the supervisor said, oh, we don't think that's a good idea. I'm not going to allow you to do that here. So she came to me in a panic. She was taking one of my other classes and said, yikes, what do I do here? I was collecting my data at this one particular site, and now they're saying no at the last minute, and I've got maybe a week, 10 days to kind of hurry up and collect some data. I need to then analyze it, then write it up and present it to this research professor. So I said, let's calm down. Don't worry. I know a lot of the other agency directors will send it out. We'll get it sent out and we'll collect some data. And we actually ended up collecting like 184 surveys, and they were looking to collect 100. But as a result of our collaboration, and I had her contact some of her other classmates at their agencies and the ones I knew, and we ended up with much more than we had originally proposed. And as a result of that, because her topic was a really good topic, we have written that up, analyzed the data, written it up, edited it, and have sent it off to the Council on Social Work Education Research Journal and waiting to hear back about its possibility for publication.
Wow. And this sounds like what Christopher's been working on is something that could very easily be published as well by way of a published work and what he's been doing.
It sure may be. This is a grand idea.
Yes.
I look forward to presenting this at this national conference. You know, and the thing that Christopher can look at doing is building off this and using this as a stepping stone. And when you're in graduate school, you know, we graduate probably 60 or plus students every spring. But this, when he looks at graduating and starts employment seeking, this is going to look really great on his resume.
Fantastic.
That he has presented this, and this is his research idea and his topic and his presentation.
So let's talk, Christopher, about how it's been working and collaborating with Dr. Long on your work.
Ooh, I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. No, Dr. Long is he's great. I enjoy collaborating with the professors on campus because it sort of deconstructs that idea that, you know, they're your professors in class, you know, they're there to bark at you. And I don't feel that way at all with really anybody in the office. I enjoy seeing them as mentors, not just, you know, instructors. So it really gives me the sense that whenever I turn in a grade to Dr. Long, or whenever I do like a, just research like this, that it's getting peer reviewed. You know, it's not getting, it's not just coming to his desk and just sitting there for a grade and being turned back in to me. It actually feels like he's taking the time to actually give me feedback. And I enjoy that.
Let's talk about you a little bit by way of why was social work something that became an interest to you, if you don't mind, please?
Sure. As an undergrad, I did a lot of research with the literature that was published during the AIDS crisis. And I got with the Honors College and the English department, and they allowed me to do a thesis for credit. So in reading a lot of those books, it was incredibly depressing. It put you in a mindset as if you were a gay man that was stuck in the 80s. And it was very difficult to get through and to write that. And, you know, afterwards, I just started thinking, you know, I want to do something like this, but I don't want to be stuck behind a desk just writing about, you know, what happened in the 80s. There's still work to be done in the field of AIDS, and I want to be able to help them, like, one-on-one, as opposed to just, you know, spitting out theory or writing or doing other research like that. So I decided that social work was going to be the best entryway into being able to get out in the field and helping.
And how do you hope that this research that you're working on, and maybe that future research that you do and the work that you do as part of the A-State connections, you know, how Arkansas mm-hmm. State's making a connection into the communities that they serve, how do you hope that this work that you're doing will help make that kind of connection to be able to further things, make things better, you know, as you go out into the field?
Well, I feel like I have a lot of connections here that could, you know, potentially help me whenever I'm in a position to need, you know, to need help. An example that I give is whenever I graduated college. I mean, there's still some professors that I keep up with on Facebook, even though they may not even teach here anymore. And I'll run an idea by them, and they'll say, yeah, that sounds great. Have you thought about this? So I feel like by, you know, collaborating, because there are some professors here that, you know, they don't get tenure. They go off to other colleges, and I mean, you're like the lines in the connections that you make, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. It's like a big web. So, mm-hmm. You know, I feel like by making connections at A-State is good for everybody. Because, I mean, you don't know where you're going to end up. You don't know where your professors are going to end up. And having that continued education, that continued advice is very, very helpful.
When you take a look, by the way, we're talking to Christopher Russell and also to Dr. Jody Long here as part of the Created State podcast here on KASU. Going back to your research for just a second, I know you've worked awful hard on it, a long, a lot of research in that. What do you hope will be the ultimate goal of that by way of how hopefully in the future this will help social workers, especially when they're dealing with transgender people? And how do you hope that this research will be able to help broaden their knowledge?
So there is a lot of things, there's a lot of ethical things that we that we do as social workers. For one instance, if I can give you an example.
Sure.
Say you have a client that comes into your office and they are an extreme risk to themselves or others. Your initial response and what you are ethically called to do is to report that. You want to make sure that your client gets in a situation or in an environment that can help take care of their immediate crisis. A lot of places around here, they have gendered care. So whenever they go to a unit at a hospital or like behavioral health, they get placed in a unit that corresponds with the birth that they were or with the gender they were assigned at birth. And you have to really think about, is that really helping your client or hurting them even more? Because statistics show that when you misgender a transgender person, it does horrible things to their, you know, to their psyche. I mean, it's really, the research in that area is not lacking. So you really, I feel like social workers could benefit from this and to finding out, especially in a rural area, how to find resources for transgender people because they are out there. You just have to look for them and you have to approach them as if that's their space and not your space. And find a way to work with that organization to get your clients involved into an environment that is both empowering and helps harness that resilient nature of just being who you are.
Dr. Long, what would you like to add on that?
Well, I was about to say, with this particular research topic, we're going to intervene on a macro meso and micro level. And when we present at the conference, we'll be on a macro level. We're going to present this to a large number of people, hopefully to inform them of research and resources that are available for this population. As Christopher said, this has been an oppressed and neglected and isolated population for a number of years. But to help social workers at this conference, presenting to a large number, a room full of social workers, be able to intervene effectively with this population. And on a meso level, they'll take that back to their community and inform social worker on how to effectively work with a transgender client. So we're affecting the neighborhood there. And then on a micro level, on one-on-one. So an example would be if you have a social worker in a very rural community, and sometimes communities are very isolated and at times neglected by the metropolitan areas of the state. So if you have a social worker who might be traveling from one small town on a certain day to another small town on another day, then back to their home base and their agency. Mm-hmm. But when they're in these isolated areas and they have a transgender person who comes in to talk with them, they may be the only person who understands that client and what their experience is and how to help them get some relief and begin to feel better about themselves, who they are, the decisions they're making, and what their life is. Mm-hmm. So that's where we want to start. We're kind of starting with a macro level and working our way down to improving the micro level of intervention.
That's Dr. Jody Long and student Christopher Russell. To hear more interviews like this one, you can subscribe to the Crate at State podcast on the Crate at State podcast page on KASU.org. It's also available on iTunes or Google Play, or you can listen on the NPR app. And please tell others about the Crate at State podcast. Also, leave us a review, so we'd love to hear from you. You're listening to A-State Connections and Crate at State. I'm Jonathan Reeves.